Okay, we want to continue on Bible study. Again, looking at observing the details, which should be one of our goals, is to observe the details, which brings us to words. Of course, you cannot observe the details of something you're reading if you do not carefully observe words. Again, the analogy of a jigsaw puzzle, every piece has its place, proper place, and every piece fits in its proper place. And every piece has a relation or connection with the pieces around it, and it all relates to the whole puzzle. There's not a single piece in the jigsaw puzzle that is not connected to another piece. We need to view every single word, and I mean every single word, as a piece in the puzzle. Every single word is a piece, which means, of course, that every single piece, every single word has a place, fits, and it relates to the whole. Just as every single piece in a puzzle is important and has a purpose, so it is with words. We have a tendency to view some words as unimportant, or without a purpose, but every word is important, and every word has a purpose. This is especially true when it comes to the word of God. Words, of course, are the expression of thoughts. Someone speaks, they are expressing a thought. No different with God. God uses words to express his thoughts, and nothing ought to interest us more than the thoughts of God. And the only way we can know the thoughts of God is to listen to his words, because they express his thoughts. Words, of course, are tools that reveal not only thoughts, they reveal ideas, they reveal concepts, they reveal expectations. And again, so it is with God. So when we think of the words of God, they are of immeasurable importance. We read in Numbers 24, verse 4 and 16, the words, plural, the words of God. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 22, these words, plural again, the Lord spake. Deuteronomy 9 and verse 10, the words which the Lord spake. In Psalm 119, if we turn there, we read, how sweet are thy words unto my mouth, or unto my taste. Again, words, thy words. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words, the entrance of thy words. Again, thy words, and it's the entrance. Similar to what Brother Tim was just talking about, the entrance of thy words. That's so important. Verse 139, last two words of that verse, we see thy words. In Isaiah 29 and verse 18, we read the words of the book. I believe referring to the Word of God. When you look at the Bible, of course, it is the words of the book. Not just any book, but God's book. And we read in Jeremiah 15, if we turn there, Jeremiah 15 in verse 16. Thy words, plural, were found, and I did eat them, and thy word, singular, was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. So the Bible, as we all know and we all believe, are God's words. And we read those that phrase in John chapter 8, verse 47, God's words. Words are important. And nowhere are they more important than God's word. Nowhere. Doesn't matter what the book is, it doesn't matter. Nowhere are words more important than when God speaks. So we need to pay very, very careful attention to words. Missing a single word, overlooking a single word, can cause us to miss much on what God is saying. To rearrange words, of course, can cause one to twist and to take out of context what God is saying. So we need to realize that words have their place. They all fit somewhere. Words, of course, are parts, segments of speech. And we all remember from English grammar classes that every word belongs to a category of speech. That's true in every language. Every word belongs to a category of speech. Now, in English, there are basically 8 parts of speech. And many people get in their mind, well, parts of speech mean nothing to me. Oh, but they do. You couldn't communicate without them. Parts of speech are the building blocks of language. So we want to look at parts of speech. We don't want it to turn into an English class. But we do need to be aware of parts of speech. We do need to know how words work, how they function. You have nouns, you have pronouns, you have adjectives, you have prepositions, you have verbs, you have adverbs, you have conjunctions. Those are those real little words, very, very important words. And you have interjection. But every word has a job description. Every word has a function. And we need to have some knowledge of that if we're going to notice details. If we're going to notice details, you have to notice words. And you have to have some understanding of the function. What is the job of such and such a word? What job does this word do? And every word has a job. And we need to always keep those things in mind. A noun, of course, names a person, a place, a thing, or an idea. A pronoun replaces a noun. It helps you and I when we're speaking or writing to avoid the repetition of nouns. If there were no pronouns, reading would be very, very laborious. We see John 3:16, for example, would read, "For God so loved the world that God gave God's only begotten Son." Much easier when you have pronouns. "For God so loved the world that He..." He is a pronoun referring back to God. "That He gave His," another pronoun, "only begotten Son." So nouns and pronouns fit together. Pronouns must go back to a noun. We need to recognize that. We need to pay close attention. And we'll get on this later. But we need to pay very, very, very close attention to pronouns. Need to pay very close attention to when pronouns change, because they all refer back. We see there are adjectives. Now, an adjective describes. Again, if we're going to notice detail, we have to notice words that describe. If you're going to notice detail, you have to have description. And adjectives, of course, describe. They describe a noun, or they describe a pronoun. Usually, but not always. One thing you always remember from English class, the exceptions. Just as soon as you think you've learned something, here comes the exception and throws everything off. But usually, the adjective comes before the noun or the pronoun that it describes. But, of course, not always. There are prepositions. We see nouns, pronouns, adjectives. They all fit together. They all work together. Then there are prepositions which show a relation between a noun or a pronoun and some other word in a sentence. So the job of a preposition is to show relationship. It's always accompanied by a noun or a pronoun, which that noun or pronoun serves as the object of the preposition. Again, if you're going to notice details, you have to notice objects. Then, of course, there are verbs. A verb expresses an action. It expresses a state of being also. We see there are adverbs. There's a connection here. An adverb, like an adjective. An adjective describes a noun or pronoun. An adverb describes a verb. It also can describe an adjective or another adverb. But again, it's a descriptive word. Look for descriptive words. There are conjunctions. Conjunctions are connectors. They connect the parts of a sentence. Again, little words, but little words of great significance, great importance. So many people miss blessings and miss so much in the Word of God by not paying attention to those connecting words. Again, in a puzzle, everything has a connection. Conjunctions. Very, very important. Then, of course, there are interjections. Interjections, a word that expresses feeling. So you get an idea of what the writer is feeling when they're writing. It's not as difficult when you hear someone talk, but when you read something, interjections help us to understand the feeling of a writer. So let's look at nouns, just generalities. Again, this, we don't want this to be an English class, but just some generalities about nouns. There are basically two general classes of nouns, and then there are three special classes of nouns. But again, under the general class, you have common nouns, names of person, names, places, or things in general. Names, person, places, and things in general. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let there be light." Light is a noun, names something in general. We see in verse 4 that God saw the light was good, God divided the light from the darkness. Again, a noun. Light, darkness, both are nouns. You read on, you see the word evening, you see the word morning, you see the word day, you see the word firmament, you see the word waters, you see the word heaven, you see the word land and earth. All these are common nouns. They name something in general. Then there are, of course, proper nouns, and they name specific. They name specific person, a specific place or thing. It refers to a very specific entity. You have the word God here in Genesis 1. That is a proper noun. It's naming a specific person. In Galatians 1, and we see this in the beginning of all of Paul's epistles, but in Galatians 1, in verse 1, you see Paul, that's a specific person. That's a proper noun. You see, as you read on, Jesus Christ. That's a proper noun, a specific person. You see, God the Father. Again, a proper noun, a very specific person. Ephesians 1, verse 1, you see, again, Paul. You see, Jesus Christ. And you see, a place is specifically named Ephesus. So there are common nouns naming things in general. There are proper nouns naming specific places. Then there are three special classes of nouns. There's an abstract noun which names a quality. The Bible is filled with abstract nouns. It names a quality or an attribute. It can be an attribute of God. It could be an attribute of a person, but it names a quality or an attribute. For example, in Psalm 27, Psalm 27, and verse 14, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage." Courage is an attribute. Courage is a quality. It's a thing, but it's an abstract noun. Courage. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, again, and if you take a verse of Scripture and you just list every single word in that verse, you will notice these parts of speech, and you can ask yourself, what is this? What is the job? What is the function of this particular word? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, notice the last part of the verse, "Peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Godliness and honesty. Those are attributes. That those are abstract nouns. There are concrete nouns. A noun that names a material or a tangible object, something that is recognizable through the senses. You can see it, you can hear it, you can feel it, smell it, whatever. It is something that is recognizable through the senses. For example, Joshua 7, verse 24, you have several concrete nouns such as silver, garment, gold, sons, daughters, oxen, asses, sheep, tent. Those are all concrete nouns. Then there are collective nouns, many of these in the Bible also. A collective noun is a noun that is singular but speaks of a group. It is singular but speaks of a group. For example, in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, the shepherds kept watch over their flock. Flock, of course, is singular, but speaks of a group. In Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, and verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Man there is singular, but it speaks collectively. Speaks of mankind. We see the same thing in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Not referring to a specific man, but referring to man collectively, mankind. These are collective nouns. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now Abraham and his seed. Seed is singular. It's a noun, but it speaks of that which is collective. It's talking about the family of Abraham. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 15. Of whom the whole family is a collective noun. It's singular, but it refers collectively. It refers to a group, the family of God. And again, there's so much about nouns, but we need to just have a generalization of what a noun does. Again, nouns are easily recognized. That brings us to that which relates to nouns, which, of course, are pronouns. Very, very important that we pay attention to pronouns. Again, all of these parts of speech help us in answering the questions that we've already gone over. In fact, it's pretty difficult to answer those questions if you do not have some realization of the function, the job of a word. But pronouns, again, my, I, mine, I, me, and on we can go. But we'll stop here. But pronouns, very important that we notice when there is a change in pronouns. There are several kinds of pronouns, and there are personal pronouns. There is first person, that's the person speaking, which immediately causes us to ask the question, who is speaking? There's second person pronouns, which is the person being spoken to. And then, of course, there's third person pronouns, a person being spoken of. And there are several examples in the Word of God when you have all three of these. And again, it's of extreme importance that we recognize pronouns, because if we recognize pronouns, it's much easier to stay in context. The failure to recognize a pronoun can get you outside of context very, very quickly. So we need to pay very close attention to pronouns. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank you, Lord, for this word today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, again, that you've given us access to your word, that you've given us the opportunity and the privilege to read your word, to study your word. And we do pray, Lord, that you would help us to study your word, that you would help us to improve all the time in our methods of studying your word, and Lord, that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wondrous truths from your words, and Lord, that these truths would become a part of our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us today, that you would help us, Lord, to worship you, to bring all honor and glory to your name. And Lord, for those that are lost, we pray that you'd speak to their hearts, that you'd open their hearts to salvation this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.